Well, I've been meditating on a lot of things, and just with the things and the events and things, and God's been speaking. And it's one of the things is we want to do really is follow the plan of God, is what God's doing in this time, making sure we as believers are heading in the right direction. You know, it's good to cheer and be glad, hallelujah. But we need to too is understand there's the devil is not going to go lay down and quit. And isn't that we're not fearing the devil, not to be afraid of him, but understand he's devious. He's not going to go lay down and try to just, let people go. There's people out here that work for him. You know, in the church world, there's people who work for the devil. It's written about in the New Testament how, there's ones that aren't of God's camp working within God's people. And it tells us we're supposed to be careful about these things and knowing that there's things going on out here that aren't good. We don't want to, we're not to be deceived. Not everything that glitters is surely gold. We know that. Hallelujah. But God has made a move, and it really is one of the things is continuing to pray for the leadership, especially the transition and things going on. There's a lot of people, and even within the Republican Party, are not going to want to let Donald Trump go ahead and fulfill what he thinks needs to be done. He's going to have opposition, and we need to continue and pray because it's going to take some things to stand in this hour. You know, we get a lot of, we might feel like we get pressure. I tell you, the pressure he's going to have on his job and the opposition that's going to come, he's going to definitely need people praying for him. And we're teaching on the areas of prayer, and this morning, last night I sat down and the Lord just had me go back over and listen again when I taught last week, and I thought, my God, that don't seem like it really went out in a different direction than I planned on Sunday. But, God's really, the Holy Ghost is talking and there's things that just need to be said and done. And but one of the things we want to look at this morning, and as the Holy Spirit, said some things to me before I came up here, and we want to look at dealing with prayer because of praying, and we were talking over, really, I've been dealing a lot with the church specifically, the condition of the church, praying for the church, because it's number one, the church is really the key to the victory operating in the earth today. It's the church. Now, we realize that we yield to God and allow God to use us, and that's what we have to do, but if God can't use the church, he can't get his things done. God has always used people. You know, people say, oh, God don't need us. I've heard that crazy stuff said over the years, and I thought the people preaching that are no value at all to the church. They're telling people, God don't need you. God needs you. Jesus Christ said this. He didn't say, go into the world and get people saved. He didn't say that. He said, go in the world and make disciples. You need to understand, disciples carry out the will of God, not save people. Loads of saved people do nothing for God. Loads of saved people don't do a thing. Disciples carry out the will of God. The disciples that came, Jesus was telling parables, and the disciples, his disciples, not the 12, it was all of his disciples. He had more than 12 followers. People followed him, came to him, and said to him, what did you mean by that? You told us these parables. What do you mean? And he said, it's for you to know, but he said, it isn't for them on the outside. People who are not disciples are not going to hear and understand and know things that disciples are going to know and hear from God. Christians who not disciples, I like to call them, they're just surface people. They only skim off of things of the surface that are easy to see and understand. But when it comes down to understanding really anything deep, they have no clue about it. And it's not for them to know, it is for the disciples to know. And see, this is why you want to be a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of his. I'm not just a Christian. We're around all the time with people that are Christians. Churches are filled with people that are Christians, but maybe have hardly any disciples. They're just surface people. Some are because their pastors are not disciples. They're just surface people. And that's all they can give is a little surface information and a surface stuff. And it's a shame because the people can't carry out the will of God. God wants you to be able to carry out his plans and purpose. He wants to use you. The Bible says we're workers together with him. That's what we do. We're working together. We're in a partnership with God. So it is important. God looks at you and really in this earth, And I've used the scripture so much in areas here in prayer where the apostle Peter, Jesus said to him, you know, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is to understand. So God wants to give us information that he wants to carry out in this earth, and then he desires us to request it to be done. Now remember, it doesn't matter. Up in heaven, we like to think about heaven's calling the shots. No, it's not. We need to understand this. We give God glory for what he does, but God gets us to do and say things here in the earth so he can carry it out, because the authority to do it is from here. Jesus couldn't save us from heaven. He had to have the authority to come down as a man to redeem men. It required a man in the earth to redeem. He couldn't do it from heaven. Understand the importance. See, this is one of the great things. I remember back in the early 80s and the teachings on who and what we were in Christ. It blew my mind because, you know, we were always told, you know, that God's great and you're a nothing really. And you're always, and all of a sudden I find out the authority God gave us and who and what we really are in this earth. We'll say, dear Lord, God was doing a lot of stuff just by mercy to people who were ignorant. But we weren't seeing the glory of the move of God that people desired or craved for. It's because people didn't know what they were earth. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Well, now, if that's the truth, then what do we ever even pray for at all, or ever go to church or read your Bible for? If God's going to do it without us, then what's the point? What are we doing down here? Folks, you understand how important you are, your place and position. It didn't take the whole church to cry out to get God to change this nation. I want to tell you, there's a remnant, and I want you folks to understand this. This remnant's smaller than you think. There's loads of people out here play a lot of games about Christianity. But I'm going to tell you what, there is a smaller remnant who really have a heart and want God. There's many people want God to move as long as they don't have to participate, as long as they don't have to do anything with it. But there's another thing. And I want you to understand this. There's people who know the move of the Spirit today in the earth are bringing things to pass, and they are even a much, much smaller group. Understand this. People who don't believe in the move of the Spirit, people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, people don't believe, they can't bring certain things to pass in the earth because they can't cooperate with it. It requires people to cooperate. Understand, you know, if you were an auto mechanics, all were auto mechanics, you know, you couldn't work on a vehicle any more than you had information about it. Well, you can't do no more for God than you have information about. And people that don't believe on a lot of information about God, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they don't believe in healing, they don't believe in this, they're very limited in what they can do for God. God can only use them to the limits that they will allow by their faith to believe. So understand that, how important. You know, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, dear Lord, I mean, God's been waiting for that. Jesus Christ himself told the disciples, you don't even go out into ministry till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And most ministers today ain't filled with the Holy Ghost and went out into ministry. They disobeyed Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't you leave and don't go out till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you go out and start preaching till you get full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Why? Because of effectiveness of what can be done. The revelations and things. I've been listening to different people talk about prayer and different ones, and listening to people who have, on different areas of belief, ones who don't believe as much. And when you listen to levels of prayer and things and what they talk about, you start to realize the limited amount of information they have to know what to do about prayer. Because if they don't believe certain things, there's places they can't step into of the Word of God. There's places that can't be opened and revealed to them until they, by faith, receive certain things from God so he can open things up to them. You know, there's no point then really from the standpoint, if somebody don't believe God heals today, there's no point for God to be operating gifts of healing through them. They ain't going to yield to it anyhow. What would be the point? He's not going to do that. You know, he'd be wasting his time, and he knows that. Well, it's just the same. Whatever we know or we learn about, we need to understand that the church needs, if right now is one of the things that the church needs as a whole and number. I'm not saying this about these people because, you know, I'm against them. I ain't against none of them. What I want them to do is to know. And in the church, there's too much ignorance today. And one of the things is because of what's prayed. But we can pray things that can help the body of Christ come into understanding and revelation of the Word of God. With there's things we can directly pray. And if we'll pray and believe by faith, God will start opening up hearts and minds. I want you to understand this. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he came back to earth, and we know that he spent some time here walking around. Anyhow, we know that there was at least 500 people that he revealed himself to. One of the incidents is over in Luke, the 24th chapter. But I want to read, Jesus was talking to some individuals, and you know, it was on the road to Emmaus. But verse 45, I want to read this scripture to you. I want you to understand the importance of this because of the Lord has been really dealing with me a lot. I know I've said a lot about it over time, but he keeps talking to me to talk about it. The church has become intellectual. It's intellectual, not spiritual. It's become intellectual because we can read and write and we went to school. People think they're smart. They think because they pass men's tests, though therefore they can sit down and read the Bible and understand it. I want you to know that is not true. The Bible is a revealed book. It is not a learned book. Listen to what Jesus said to these people in Luke, this 24th chapter. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He opened up their understanding. You think he's talking about just naturally, maybe smart? He said, why? They couldn't understand the scriptures till he opened their understanding. They didn't know what it's saying. I've watched over the years. There's people who have opened understandings and there's people who don't. There's people you can sit and preach the truth to them day and night long as you want to. They don't pay no attention to what's said. I don't care what you give them. Their understanding, some people's understanding is closed by their own volition. They won't listen. God would like them to listen, but they don't. But they choose. They choose to be ignorant. They choose to stay that way. But we need to know that there's many people they want to know, but you know what? It isn't. Nothing's taking place. And what I want you to see is this. We have had in the church world by intellectualism that if something's preached, then therefore a person hears it. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. My words, if things were preached and people could understand it just because it was preached, dear God, we'd be such a spiritual nation, it'd be incredible. We're not. Well, what's the matter? What's the problem? Well, one of the things is the problem because we think on an intellectual level. We think because a person can read, because they have ears to hear, they went to school, they know definitions of words, therefore they can understand. I don't know how many times, we've talked about this before, I don't know how many times I have been going along minding my own business and all of a sudden the Lord will speak a scripture to me and it's a scripture I could have quoted to him easy enough. But when he quoted it to me, all of a sudden I saw what that scripture meant. And it was like, my God, how come I never saw that? It's right there, dead center, right there it is. I've had this, the Lord do this to me. Give me a scripture. And when I saw the scripture, when he said it to me, I realized this. I didn't know if I had ever heard anybody ever preach that scripture right. And when I went back, because my understanding got open and started looking in the Word, I thought, my God, that is what that means, what the Lord showed me. I started looking. See, till understanding's opens, you don't see it. You don't see it. We need to understand that, the understanding. And this is one of the things. The Apostle Paul understood this. The Apostle Paul understood that intellectualism was not going to make it work for the church. Being smart, being educated, being Greeks. Remember, he's ministering to a lot of people under that culture because, you know, they were believed in education and all that kind of stuff. The Jews did too. I mean, education and everything was wonderful. But I understand this. The Jews were very, you know, intellectual people. I mean, from the standpoint, they believed in education and educating their children and all that kind of stuff in Paul's time. Yet, they rejected the Messiah. Now, think about this. We have the guys who the Pharisees, we would call them the word people of the day, yet they rejected the Messiah. They weren't open to it. But there's something Paul gives revelation. We talked about it some, but I want you to look at some things from a scriptural perspective of Paul's prayers for the church. You're going to find this out. Paul prays as if it is not just, it's not natural just because you get born again, you're going to have wisdom and understanding. He doesn't give the idea that that takes place just because you got saved. Because of what we find, he prays for the church. In other words, God doesn't bring revelation into the earth to us just because you're a Christian. He will bring it into the earth. He'll bring it to you and to others because you ask for it. If you don't ask for it, it doesn't come. It doesn't come. I learned a long time ago, you know, and you guys have heard me talking about this as we've taught on prayer. I had this happen numbers of times over the years where I was over, you know, in an area dealing with something, but I never asked the Lord specifically about it, what was going on or nothing. God never talked to me about it till I did. Where I sometimes dealt with things for sometimes a year or more. And then finally, out of, you know, frustration, asked God specifically, and he answered me immediately, and I thought, I wasted all this time praying and trying to get this thing fixed, but I was in the wrong direction. God don't say anything if you don't ask him specifically. In other words, being specific about things is hugely important. Faith is about specifics, not generality. Most people have what I call a general faith that produces very little. Faith is very specific. Jesus said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. He didn't say, well, whatever, you know, if you like something or don't like it, whatever, you know, just. He said, whatever thing you desire. In other words, specifically the thing that you desire, when you pray, you'll believe you receive. So in other words, it deals with specifics. You specifically want, you specifically desire. What is it that you want? And we need to understand it deals with us personally, but it also deals with the body of Christ. Number one, the body of Christ must have revelation of God in this last day. If we're going to carry out the will of God and we're going to flow with God's direction, we have to have his wisdom and his understanding. We must have it. It can't be just we're carrying a book around and have memorized some scriptures. We need revelation. In other words, people talk about a personal relationship. Personal relationship is this. It's based upon actually knowing the person personally, not having a book about him. The Bible is a book about things, but through revelation, Jesus Christ becomes real. Without revelation, all you got's a book. That's all you got. You got a book that's closed to most all the world. Loads of people have this book. I went into a Buddhist temple, and they had this library in there, and they had a Bible in it, and they're all dumb as a stick. Having the book don't work it. You must have a revelation of Jesus Christ. And getting saved, you get a partial little revelation about Jesus. But that don't mean you know him. You know, accepting Jesus and getting saved, you can live and die on the face of the earth and hardly know a thing. And we need to understand the need for this. And Paul tells us specifically things to do or to pray for. And this is why we look back. If we need things open, Paul understood this and his prayer for the church. We talked about in Colossians, the first chapter, where Paul, in the 9th verse, where he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is praying like these people haven't arrived there. Why would he be asking if they would automatically get that as a Christian? They would have wisdom and they'd have understanding. Why would he be praying that? Paul seemed to think that there was a need to pray and ask God directly to do that for the people. So you need to understand, we need to directly ask God. You want wisdom and revelation. You want we sing things about good, and it's good. The confessions you make and singing and that stuff and kind of thing. But are you saying that stuff from your heart, or are you just quoting words off a thing? You know, I want to know him more. Well, you just say, you can say those nice little things, but I mean, do you really want to know him more? Do you really want wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him? Do you really want that? I really want that. I believe you really want that. I mean, I don't know what you're doing in this church if you don't. You're wasting your time here. Dear God, you're after God. You want to know. And see, this is why these things are important. If it required Paul to pray to ask for these people, to pray. Look, I would believe, because verse 10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. I would believe that every one of those people had a desire to follow God and one to walk with Him. I can walk into most churches today, I mean, that believe me, I'm born again, and I believe most of the people probably do want to follow God. They may not have a clue how to do it or what to do with it or nothing. Not taught much, but that's their desire. So if that's their desire, but if they don't know what to ask for, who's asking for them? Paul is asking for them. Does it work? Well, it'd be stupid if he'd pray and God wouldn't listen to it. What's the point of praying it? You see, we can pray these prayers for ourselves. We can use these. These were inspired by the Holy Spirit, put in the book, telling you what we must ask for ourselves and for the body of Christ. If anything, the body of Christ needs a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He didn't say when the Bible was talking about knowledge, knowledge is of no value without revelation. Knowledge is worthless without revelation. You can know what things, this ought to be done, this ought to be done. How do you do it? I ain't got a clue. Wisdom comes through revelation of how to apply knowledge. It don't matter how much knowledge you have. If you don't know how to apply it and work it, right now that's where America has been. America's going to come out of this. Light's going to shine on America again. America has been this nation. We invent all kind of cool ideas and things, and other countries take them and develop them into products that actually work. We can't do it anymore. Why? When revelation of God leaves, people only have knowledge, and all it leads to is frustration. Full of knowledge and nothing works. Full of knowledge and nothing works. That's where we've been in America. I'll tell you what, there's light on America again. Hallelujah. That's one of the great things, because God is the God of wisdom. There is no wisdom without God. God gives wisdom. He'll reveal to man what to do and how to work things to make it a blessing. And we need that revelation. Why? So we can walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of Him. There's no point to increase in the knowledge of God if you don't have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You don't need that. See, and we find in Paul's prayer and those things. So when Paul prayed, we go over to Ephesians. Now think in Ephesians. Here Paul is again. Now these are churches that follow God. He's not talking to people who are a bunch of backslidden buzzards and don't want to walk with God. He is here in churches that are good people, that are people that are hungry for God. And Paul's talking about how he prays for them. Folks, I didn't learn all these things myself. I learned them, Kenneth Hagin. I remember him teaching them years ago, and look at this. And this prayer in Ephesians, the first chapter that Paul talks about, Kenneth Hagin said he began to pray this prayer for himself every day, and I don't know how many times a day he said he prayed. He used to pray this thing. He said he began to get so much revelation, and that's when he told his wife, he said, "Dear Lord," he said, "what on earth have I been preaching?" See, he's been preaching knowledge that he learned just from the book, listen to people, but he didn't have revelation. He began to pray, and revelation started coming to him. He was astounded of what he didn't know about the Bible. He was astounded how much he didn't know. Yet he had Kenneth Hagin could quote three quarters of the New Testament. Almost never did he ever read from the Bible when he preached. He would get his Bible, turn it open, and look down at it, but he would be quoting the Bible. But you know, all that quoting he could do. And that happened to him from the time that he got born again. He could just look at something and could memorize it. But it didn't help him with knowing God without revelation, even though he could do that. See, we're so marveled today about somebody that we call has a good mind. And it is that's been half of our problem. We're impressed by the natural so much. I'm impressed by the guy who got revelation. That impresses me. But see, Paul in this church, now look what he prays in Ephesians, the first chapter. Paul's praying this for these people. He tells verse 16, he mentions in your prayer these people. But he says in verse 17, what does he want? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What do he want you to have? Just knowledge? No. He's praying this for them. He wants them to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. So we know this. This isn't something that just comes natural to us. Wisdom and revelation must be asked for by faith. We need to ask God for it. See, I pray for you folks that you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Right now, today, Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. And for what's this purpose? What's this about? That the eyes of your understanding, or some translations even have it, your heart. It's about seeing in the realm of the Spirit. Understand, these eyes He's talking about isn't physical eyes to see something. You know, just like we talk, you know, a person, in your mind you can visualize things, can't you? In your own mind. Well, your spirit is exactly the same way. Your spirit can visualize and see things. Your spirit can be opened up to understand things. When God opens up and brings wisdom, it comes to the heart of man, not to the mind. It may dawn on your mind, but it comes through the inner man. God doesn't teach you by the outside. He teaches you from the inside out. The world teaches from the outside in. But we don't, that's not the learning of the church. The learning of the church is from the inward. It's a revelation to the heart, not a revelation to the head. See, much of the church is living out of head knowledge. That's why there's been so much problems, and that's why there's been so much trouble in the church. And the church hasn't been able to accomplish the will of God because it's trying to do it through mental power, not spiritual strength. Mental power to bring the word of God to pass, it will never work. Something on the inside. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. In other words, no man understands the hope of His calling by any intellect. It's got to be revealed to them. It must be revealed to us. It must come by revelation. We can read the book and read the book, but man, we need our eyes open concerning the book. We need our eyes opened. Just like why would the Scriptures think? I would guarantee you those Jewish people, when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, they probably knew the Scriptures He was talking about. They probably heard them many times. But Jesus had to open them up to understand it so they could have wisdom of what God was saying. It wasn't enough to know what the Scripture said, or He'd have never had to do that. So this is something that God does. God brings this thing. And this is why when we come down through, no minister, no person should ever get over in a thing and act anywhere big about what they know. I've learned a lot about the Word, but I tell you, the only reason I have learned a lot about the Word, it's been revealed to me. If God didn't reveal it, dear God, I didn't figure it out. I'm just telling you, it ain't bright enough to figure out as good as this thing is. I could have never thought of a plan like God has thought of a plan, and it's working. The wonders of this thing is the person who is the least in education, God can reveal Himself to that person, and that person can be the smartest one in the book when it comes to revelation of God. See, we need to understand that. It doesn't come by young. Today, we're impressed by really great speakers and people who know how to speak and use the language well, and we're just impressed with all that. We're impressed by, you know, people. Oh, man, you know, they're really smart. You know, sometimes, like on the radio, I'll turn off on these, preachers, and I like to listen to different ones of them, and you listen to them talk. Some of these guys are educated. I mean, they get out there, and they're talking, and I mean, they got $47 words, and they're giving all these things, and when they give their you know, illustrations, they're always some big elaborate thing, and you sit and listen to that, and you sit, and you think, all that intellect, and that's all God by intellect. Now, you know, if you ask that person, they love God with all their heart concerning the little they know about Him. But you know what the bad part about is it? They think they really know Him. That's the sad part. Trying to know somebody by information. You know, I can sit down and read a book on information of George Washington, but other than when I get to heaven, I'll never see him, you know, and I won't know him personally. I don't care how many books. I can never know George Washington by information, because we get information of what people think it was like, or think like what he was thinking. Don't you get tired of that on the news? They sit down and tell you what they think of the news. And then you don't hear what the news was. All you heard was their opinion of the news. And people say, I was listening to the news. And I'm sorry, you never listen to the news. You listen to opinion of somebody's news. Just tell me the thing that happened and don't put any of your ideas on it. I can think for myself. Don't put your slant on it. And that goes for both sides, because both sides do it. They put it on. But see, we can literally know God. And I told you, I was so moved when Kenneth Hagin, when I was a young Christian, and I'm listening to a tape, one of the first tapes I got of him, and he talked about, he was dealing with being led by the Spirit of God, and he said, I know Jesus Christ better, he said, than I know my wife who sleeps beside me in the bed. And when he said that, that just shocked me. I was like, oh my God. Because I know this man's not a liar. He's not trying to put on something. I know this. I know God. And I know him better. And I thought, gee, I'd like to go there someday. I'd like to arrive at that place. Well, we can. Everybody can. Everybody can go to that place. You know, I live with my wife, but my wife don't live in me. It's a shame that most Christianities, they know people better. The Bible even says this, know no man after the flesh. Yet that's the way we know most people. But we have God in us. Shouldn't I know God better than I do my wife who lives on the outside? God's inside me. Literally inside me. Shouldn't I, you know? But see, when we have all this outside, we don't have revelation. Most of the church world doesn't. They talk about God living in us. I know this for a fact by watching people live that most Christians have no belief of God living in them. They don't believe it. They can quote. They just think, yeah, the Scripture's right. There's no knowledge of Him living in them. And you can tell by what they do and the way they walk. They don't have knowledge. I tell you, God lives in it. When I got the revelation that I'm not calling out to a God out there somewhere trying to get a hold of Him, I can talk to God right inside of me. God's right here inside of it. I'm not trying to break through brass heaven. I'm not trying to get through to something. You know, we're not trying to string tin cans on a string to try to talk to God and hope that, you know, that He'll hear me. We're not doing that. God's in me. When that revelation that came on me, I was enlightened to that. It's like, my God, God's real. He's in me. God's all the time in me. Whew. Changed, revolutionized my prayer life. I never prayed the same after that. I never had to go through a whining and crying and bawling and squalling. I mean, I just go talk to Him. Hallelujah. What a relief it is. That was better than Alka-Seltzer, folks. But I'm just saying, this is why you want to have revelation. Paul tells us how to pray to get this revelation. If you'll ask for it, believing you receive it, you'll have it. Paul began to pray for these people. Paul was praying. This is how I pray for you guys. This is what I do. I pray the eyes of your understanding. You know the hope of the calling. So you know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, one thing is, I love that. It doesn't say my inheritance in the saints. It says His. I'm His inheritance. Woo! I'm God's inheritance! God, I'm valuable. God inherited me. Wrote it in a book to tell me. Dear Lord, that ought to get everybody excited. You want a revelation of that, don't you? You'll never allow somebody to preach to you ever again, tell you God don't really need you. You'll never listen to such nonsense. You'll know that there might be a nice person, but the devil's using their mouth. Trying to minimize who and what you are. You're God's inheritance. Jesus died for you because He found you valuable and precious. More valuable and precious than anything creation had to offer. My God. That's the value you are. And what God wants you? Paul's praying so the people in this church in Ephesus will know this. How valuable they are to God. How precious they are to God. You're in His inheritance. He, God, did all He did to get you. Dear Lord, you might not see you valuable, but you better get a revelation that you are. Quit looking at your inefficiencies and your inadequacies and quit looking at yourself. You don't judge yourself by the flesh. You judge yourself by the heart. You're a born again child of God. You have the nature of God. Start judging yourself. Shut your mouth talking the nonsense that the rest of the world runs around, talks and says about themselves. Knock that stuff off. Quit trying to act like it's humble. It ain't humble. It's demonic. It destroys you. It runs you down. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You have the nature of God in you. You're God's inheritance, and you need a revelation of that. And you need to pray till you get the revelation. You need to start every day. Lord God, open the eyes of my understanding. Enlighten me, Lord God. Anybody needs light, give me some. I expect you to do it, Lord. Lord, I pray for the church. Man, I pray for the church. That's what's wrong with the church today. All the wrong prayers that are prayed, what the church really needs, the church does not pray for. We need a revelation of God. We need a revelation. Paul's telling us the revelation that the church needs. Telling us what to pray for and what to pray for the church. I tell you, the greatest thing you could ever do is pray these things for other Christians. The greatest thing, pray them for yourself. Pray them for other Christians. Hallelujah. God wants you to know this, verse 19. What's the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? God's power that's toward us according to the working of His mighty power. That mighty power is the word dunamis. That's the word we get dynamite from. God's dynamite. What He's talking here is about the resurrection power of God toward you. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He makes alive your mortal body. I'm going to tell you what, if the dynamite power of God can't heal you, you're hopeless. Glory to God. It'll make alive your mortal bodies. Glory to God. And he said, I want you to understand this. See, these revelations, these things must come to the church, or the church will never know how valuable they are. They're not going to have the healing that God wants them to have. They'll see themselves as weak, trying to get power. When God said, you need to know what kind of power is going on in you. You've got God living in you. If you ain't got enough power and you're praying for power, you missed it completely. We ain't praying for power. The powerhouse lives in you. Glory to God. You need a revelation of the power that's already in you. Glory to God. It's the power of God, the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost enough? Is God the Holy Spirit enough? Or do we need to get something else? The church has been searching for all kind of stuff except what it has. It's trying to get what it already got. Trying to get power when you have power. The only reason power doesn't display itself is because there's no faith for it. We're trying to get it. It's already in me. I don't have to get it. I got it. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in me. Glory to God. That revelation needs to get into the church again. That was preached back in the 80s, and we were insane people. We thought it was true, and they made fun of us, and they thought we were idiots, but we were crazy, and we didn't care. Hallelujah. We'd lay hands on anything and move. We didn't care. Hallelujah. God was going to do something, and God did all kinds of things. Then the church got dignified. Then they got educated. And all these ministers started acting like they had education. They want to get degrees, and they start getting degrees. And then all these Bible schools rise up, and we got to get degrees. I don't need a degree. I need God. The church don't need a degree. I don't care about your doctrine. I want God to show up. Hallelujah. All us dumb little knuckleheads didn't know nothing. But I'll tell you what, we knew about power, and it was in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's in you. You need a revelation of that mighty working. What that work he did when he worked, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over what? All things to the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Listen what he says the church is, which is his body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who's the fullness of Jesus? The church! Hallelujah! Church is the fullness of Jesus. In this earth, there ain't no Jesus in this earth besides the church. We're the fullness of Jesus in this place. We have the resurrection power of God. I don't know about you, I'm getting a little wild here. I'll tell you what. But I'm excited! Hallelujah! I'm excited! Glory to God. These are the revelations. And see, Paul's praying for them. You guys need the revelation of this. Think of this. Timothy is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And Paul's writing this. Now, Timothy's a protege. But Paul's writing a letter to say, you ain't arrived yet, Timothy. You need more revelation. Hallelujah. And he's praying for them. Would God answer? Is he wasting his time just praying? And God's not going to do it? Or he's just filling up space in a letter, and they don't really need this. They would get it anyway because they're Christians. No, they're not. And you and I aren't either. See, many Christians have been taught, God just going to give. If he wants you to be smart, he'll make you smart. If he wants you this, he'll be that. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. It's what Paul's doing in this church. He's seeking. He's doing knocking for people. Hallelujah. So they can gain understanding. So they grow up spiritually. So they develop. I think about this. Paul praying. Paul, in 2 Corinthians in 13, verse 9 says, for we are glad when we are weak and you're strong. And this we pray, that you may be made complete. Paul's praying for the Christian to be made complete. Hallelujah. Well, I thought you'd just get complete if you just... No. No, I'm praying for you guys to get complete. See, there's people we need to be praying for so they get complete. Hallelujah. Pray for me, I get complete. I need that. Glory to God. See, things just don't happen. We have in the church world, if God wants it, I don't get anointed by God just by me, just because I have a call to ministry. If you did that, there'd be more insane people like me. I get all wound up and fired up because of what I believe, the revelation I have, and the things that I say, the things that I speak, and God to reveal to me and to show to me. God, back in Rhema, I tell you, just absolutely changed me at Rhema because the Lord spoke to me about the spirit of boldness and start operating over that. Look what Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Apostle Paul asked for prayer for himself. So it's not natural just to be bold. It's not natural. He said, I want you to pray for me in this. And in Ephesians 6 chapter verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications. What? For the saints. We want to be praying for the saints. I tell you, this day and age, we need to pray for the saints, because if we pray for the saints, the church is going to rise up. And the church rises up to its place. And I want to tell you what, the glory will pour out in the nation. The glory. You look at any revivals. If you're, and I was a student reading things on revival, and when the church gets straight, man, stuff happens. When the church fills its place and starts to act in line with what God wants to do, it is amazing the things that take place. And to see, that's what God wants to do, is the church begins to take its place. But listen to Paul. So praying for the saints. He said for this, pray for me, what? That utterance may be given to me? Gee, I thought it would just be smart, I'll just read the Bible. I'm going to tell you, I can read the Bible and I can study, but when I come up here Sunday morning, the anointing comes on me and utterance comes. To being able to say it and to be able to read it and understand it that way is a totally different thing. It's another thing when I walk up here and the anointing drops on me and utterance comes. Hallelujah. I'm sometimes just excited to see what's God going to do today. What's he going to have me utter today? What are we going to be saying today? I want utterance. What do you want this utterance for? Paul tells us, may be given to me that I may open my mouth really nice and don't hurt anybody's feelings and just be real cute. That what? Open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord taught me back when I first was a young Christian. He told me the more bold I was, the greater effect it was going to have on people. He said, people's faith will be tied to your boldness. He said, you want people to come. You know why there's so much weakness in faith in the church? Because so many weak preachers just up saying nice little stuff, giving their little book reports. I'm going to tell you what, they aren't bold. When somebody stands up and starts saying bold stuff, man, people start ducking under chairs. You know, preachers want to get out of the way because we don't want to, you don't want to be too bold. You know, somebody might, you know, don't want to say something too bold here. People think you're prideful. I ain't prideful. There's, if you can't tell the difference between the anointing and pride, you need another dip. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we want to speak boldly the mysteries of the gospel. We want to be able to speak them in a manner that men believe we actually believe this stuff. That it's nice, some nice words on a page. Thank God for the wonderful words in the page. But I want the anointing of God to speak the words on the page. Hallelujah. I want the anointing on me. That's what we desire to have, is the anointing of God. I'll tell you, the word's true. The word's true, folks. Hallelujah. And so Paul, now think about this. Here the apostle Paul said, this in manner you ought to pray for me. So this stuff don't just happen. I want to understand, boldness comes from asking for it. I'll tell you what, I've asked, the Lord spoke to me about a spirit of boldness. And back at Raymond, when I was in school, having a spirit of boldness. And I just started meditating, looking at the scriptures about this. And I started asking for a spirit of boldness. Kenneth E. Hagin said, then after I started doing this, about a month or two later, Patsy, who she's named Caminetti now, she was Patsy Bierman, but she's married now. But Patsy stood up and she was very close with Brother Hagin. They used to pray a lot together. Patsy would pray. She was one of the prayer people there and also taught in the school. But Patsy said, Brother Hagin, she said, I was with Brother Hagin, and he was asked for the number one thing that he wanted to have Rhema students have when they left Rhema. And he said this, a spirit of boldness. The one thing that's lacking in the church world today is a spirit of boldness. Christians in America become cowards. They're hiding out. Why? The boldness ain't a natural thing. It's not natural. It ain't naturally being bold. I'll tell you what. You know, when the anointing of God comes on me, they could walk in the door, put a gun to my head, and I'd let them pull the trigger. I wouldn't care at all. That anointing comes on you, you got a spirit of boldness on you. People just, it ain't something natural. I wouldn't think 2 seconds about it. That's why Paul could take a stone and then go back to town again. You don't do that because you're a tough guy. Dear Lord, they done killed him. He was raised from the dead. You don't do that because you're tough. The tough guy'd say, I don't think we better go back there. I think we're going to go someplace else. What do you think, guys? But the anointing will make you do things and act like you ain't got good sense sometimes. And people tell you, you just been way out there. Yes, about time somebody gets way out there. Hallelujah. We need to. I remember back in the 80s, a lot of preachers used to get way out there. Hallelujah. And we loved it because they took us out there with them. But they can't take you where they can't go now. They can't take you there. Somebody can't impart boldness into you they ain't got. They can't impart what they ain't got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, we got something to give. And see, these things are written in scriptures for how to pray. What did they put there for? So in other words, this stuff don't naturally happen, does it? We're supposed to specifically ask for it. Hallelujah. Don't ever believe what somebody says to you when they talk to you like, well, you know, you're just not supposed to know as much. I'll tell you, you can go as far as you want. How far do you want to go in revelation of God? How far do you want to go in understanding Him? How far do you want to go in a personal relationship, knowing Him personally? How far do you want to go? That's as far as you want to go. You just keep asking. If you got enough, well, you can stop and say, I don't want any more. This is as far as I want to go, but it ain't stopping. We're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep asking for more. I want more wisdom. I want more revelation in the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to know the inheritance that He got when He got me. Hallelujah. I want to know, hallelujah, how valuable you are. Glory to God. See, we wouldn't have ministers trying to take advantage of people and doing stuff and their money and everything else if they actually believed that the people sitting in front of them were God's inheritance. I'm going to tell you, they rob God. When they're robbing the people that sit in front of them, they're robbing God. I'm going to tell you, it will not turn out well for them. My desire is for you to be blessed. My desire is for you to go far. Hallelujah. That's my desire for you. I tell you what, that's my prize. It ain't money. It's for people who can walk and fulfill the will of God. I tell you, when I see people walking, following God, hungry for God, to me there is nothing better that there could be on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. See, just having a crowd of people, having thousands of people sit in your church and almost nobody follows God. They just come in for their Sunday things. They come in and go through their rigmarole. I'm going to tell you what. No one of these preachers do what they do. You got an empty life. That's an empty life. If all it is what I can get physically out of this thing, that's what it amounts to. My words, how empty that would be. You don't need an anointing to run an empty church. It's not required. There's no need for it. Hallelujah. If people are all empty and they ain't got nothing, it don't matter. You don't need anointing for that. The anointing is to give people something. It's to take them somewhere. And that's why God wants you to pray to know what you are, because he wants to anoint you. Hallelujah. You get around people at work and you can take them somewhere. Hallelujah. The anointing on you. You'll say things, you'll be something that you never thought you could ever be. Some of my best sermons I ever first preached, I preached at work. I said things, the anointing of God would come on me when I was at Reese's, and I'd speak to people and say stuff to them, blow their little minds. I'd tell them things about their life they thought were hidden and nobody knew, and I'd tell them, and they'd look, how'd you know that? How'd you know? Not things to shame them, things that bless them and help them. People having problems that don't know. I've told the story of one guy, you know, they had him, his good best friend was in the med center in a coma. And they were having no success with this young man for maybe a lot of months. He's in a coma and no response or anything. And they asked him to come in and sit down and talk with him because they were best friends all through school. And he said sometimes just certain stimuluses work and we're trying something. He came to me, and he went to a church that wasn't spirit-filled and didn't believe in miracles, but I always thought it strange. They don't come and ask their buddies to pray about it. They come and ask somebody who believes in miracles because they don't go ask. And he asked me to pray. So at lunchtime came up. I went down the locker room. I didn't eat. I went down the locker room and started praying. The Spirit of the Lord came on me and said, go up and tell him, and says, when he goes over and he goes in the room and talks to his friend's going to wake up and be fine. So I'm just a lunatic anyhow. So I went up and told him. Now he asked me to pray, and I told him what God said. He wanted his friend to wake up, and I told him his friend was going to wake up. He looked at me like, you're crazy. You know how many times I've had that happen? People ask me to pray for something. When I tell them it's going to turn out right, they look at me like, you're an idiot. I've had that so many times happen to people. They come in their little unbelief and act like they all pray, and really they don't expect nothing to happen. Thank God. God many times uses it because I'm a lunatic. And you know what? As the Lord told me, he said, I'll use you for things because basically, he said, you'll do weird things. You'll just go ahead and do it. I say, well, okay. See, he don't mean use me because I'm great in intelligence. I think he uses me sometimes because of lack of. But anyhow, I was told this guy this. Well, the next day I see him at work and he's unglued. He came to me and said, my God, he said, just like you said. He said, I went in and started talking to me. He said, he sat right up in bed, talking to me just like he'd been awake. He had never been in a coma. Some lunatic went and prayed and asked God, got an anointing on him and told the guy something. Hallelujah. I've had things like that happen time and time again. In fact, I've had more miraculous happen outside of church than I've ever had in church. It was commonplace when I was working at Reese's that something would come up and God would tell me to go tell somebody having a problem in their life. They didn't even know anybody knew about it. I'd go talk to them about it and tell them what God's going to do. And of course, they'd look at you like, space cadet. Yeah, God's going to do that. And it come to pass. They come back, hey, what you said happened. It happened. Well, it ain't surprising me none. I already knew that beforehand. But God would do it. And see, that's why God anoints us. So you got to know what you are. You got to know what you are. See, the devil might take you in your workplace, the places you're around. He'll try to make you feel like, you know, that you're the oddball, that you're weird there, and, you know, you just can't do nothing there. You need to lose that attitude. You're God in the place. I want you to tell you, God, you're God in the place. God said to Moses, he said, I'm going to make you God to Pharaoh. And he said, your brother Aaron, he's going to be your prophet. I'm going to tell you something. God will make you God to people. What you say to him is going to come to pass. But see, if we don't pray these prayers, we don't get revelation. We don't get the boldness. We don't do those things. See, I want to become that. I want to pray these things because I want the church. I'll tell you what, we're going to have ministry rise up in the body of Christ like you have never seen before in these last days. There are many people that have been just sitting, waiting for this time period. They don't even know it yet. But that's when, in the plan of God in these last days, loads of people are going to rise up into full-time ministry and never even thought they'd ever be in the ministry. There's a move of God that's on. Hallelujah. People are going to have desire for thing and are going to just run right into it. Glory to God. See, we need to hook up. But one of the things is begin to pray these things. If anything the church needs is a revelation of God. We need a spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's what we need. You gain the knowledge of God. God doesn't want you to just be able to pray in tongues to bring things to pass you don't know about. God wants you to understand His kingdom. He wants you to understand how it works and what to do. He wants you down here in this earth, you know what to say and to bring to pass. You know what's needed. He wants you there too. He wants you in that place where you ask and you receive. Just like Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. That's what the Apostle Paul's praying. These things, Paul is loosing things into the earth from God. The revelation of God to man, to the church. Hallelujah. We keep trying to get revelation of the world. I want to get revelation of the church. Because the church, if the church in its condition goes after the world's going to get nothing. It gets nothing. I'll tell you what. But what happens when the church finds out they're God's inheritance and you bring the world into this inheritance? My. I'm going to tell you what. Don't be surprised you make disciples. People want to follow something like that. I don't want to follow religion. I want to get away from it. I don't want to follow Jesus is just a nice guy, nice little barefoot dude carrying a sheep around in his arms. I'm going to tell you, He's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the guy that went into the temple and kicked the tables over and run the idiots out. Hallelujah. It's time for a church to rise up and kick the idiots out. It's time to get the whip. Hallelujah. The church is a place of great value. The church, the people of God, are of astronomical value in this world. Hallelujah. We're not some lame little thing. Glory to God. We're the glory of God. We're the ones seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We're the ones seated at the right hand of power, far above all principality and power and might. He didn't say you were over the devil. He said you were far above all principality and power and might and dominion. People say the devil's under my feet. He's so far away from Ed, he can't even see Ed's feet. He don't know if I have any. He's too far off. Glory to God, he ain't in the same park I'm in. He's not in the same place. I'm seated far above. He's seated in darkness. I'm seated in light. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's the church. That's what we are. Hallelujah. You don't want to run from the devil. Once he knows you know that, dear Lord, he'll sneak around. When he sees you coming, he'll go run off with some of them other religious people like him. He won't stay around you. He won't hang around it. Hallelujah. Why? He don't like get cast out, running off and that stuff. He hates it when people talk faith. He hates it when people aren't afraid of him. He hates that. Glory to God. You move over in this area, come over with the spirit of boldness, and I'm going to tell you what, the devil will be scared of you. He'll be afraid to be around you. He won't like it. He won't like it because you got the anointing of God on you. Jesus cast out demons by the finger of faith. That's what the Bible says so. But he was anointed, a God who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He was anointed a God. The devil couldn't stand before him. The devil has stood before the church because the church don't know God. They don't know who they are. They don't know. We haven't asked for what we really needed. And I'll tell you what, we get revelation. You get the revelation of God and you can get anything you need. In the natural, it's the easy part to get what you need in the natural if you understand the spiritual side. It's the easiest thing in the world. It won't be hard to you. Glory to God. And it's not going to be hard to us in these last days. I'll tell you, we'll see things come to pass so fast, it'll blur your little mind. Your brain will not be able to keep up with what's going on in the inside of you. It'll just keep working, and after a while you're going to say, Lord Jesus, come, we need a new body. This one ain't working right. This one keeps going tilt. My mind just gets these little red lights up there and say, tilt, 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 tilt. Can't figure it out. We know it's where the inside's saying, just shut up and keep going with the flow. Keep going, just keep going with this. Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you, you won't. The glory in the inside of you, your body is not going to be able to keep up with it. If it could, you would need a glorified body. You need a glorified body because the glory in us will become so great, the body's going to have to change. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'm for the change. Are you? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, if anything we need today, and Lord God, the body of Christ, Father, you're doing your work because we as people ask for a change in this nation, and you brought a change in this nation. We've sought you, Lord God, and went after you, and Lord God, you've done it. But Father God, I pray this today for the Church of Jesus Christ, because Lord God, we need to take our place in this nation. Lord God, if we don't, oh, there's so many lost going to go off into eternity without Jesus. But Lord God, God, our nation will fail in its destiny to what it's supposed to do in these last days in this world, Lord God, to bring change in this world so Jesus Christ can be glorified. And I pray today for the church, Lord God. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of the church's understanding is enlightened so we know what's the hope of calling and what is the glory is of the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of your power that's in us today, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want the revelation to come to the church, Lord God. Lord, that resurrection power that took Jesus Christ and seated him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named. Lord God, that revelation would come to the church. Lord God, the revelation that we're the fullness, hallelujah, that fill us all in all, hallelujah, the church of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, Lord God, for we need understand. For Lord God, I pray today on the church, Lord God of Jesus Christ, there would be a spirit of boldness, hallelujah, to Lord God to speak the words, the spirit of boldness to utter, Lord God, the words of God, hallelujah. Father God, that we're going to speak the mysteries of Christ, Lord God, as we ought to. Father, and I thank you, and I pray, Lord God, Father God, I'm praying according to the prayers that you showed in the Scripture. And Lord God, you didn't put them in there because they don't work. You put them in there because they work. They've been inspired for us, Lord God. They've been written for our admonition. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you're working today. I thank you today. There's revelation has dawned on hearts in this place today, Lord God, taking ones higher and further than they've ever walked before. Lord God, it's opening doors to see and to understand. Lord God, a people who take their place in the glory in these days and hours. Father God, hallelujah. Father God, what a treasure they are. What a treasure they are. And thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, Father, we lift up Donald Trump. Lord God, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. But Lord God, we know as a church of Jesus Christ, we got to stand with him, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for moving for us. But Father God, we realize this as he's just like we are. Without your anointing and without you working mightily in him, it's just him. And Lord God, I know what it is to be just me. But Father God, I pray for him today. Father, I believe there's an anointing for him to stand in that office. And Father, I pray for that strong anointing, Lord God, that you have him upon him to fulfill your will. Lord God, not in the areas of just voice to speak scripture, but Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that he will be bold to stand up and say what's right and to speak what's right concerning our nation. Father, give him a spirit of boldness. And Lord God, he needs boldness desperately. And Father, I pray that you give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that his eyes of his understanding are lightened, Lord God. Lord, that he knows the hope of his calling. Father God, that you've called him and you've set him into this position. And Lord God, I pray that he sees that and understands that clearly in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and there would be a good fear upon him, the fear of God upon him of what you've placed him in for this day and this hour and the destiny of this nation. And Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, that you surround him with men, Lord God, with not their own ideas and their own thoughts, but Lord God, surround him with men of wisdom and understanding to set this nation in a direction, Lord God, so we can fulfill, the church can fulfill your plans and your purposes, Lord, that many will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will again be glorified in this nation, hallelujah, and magnified, and Lord God, that we will take our place again in the world to be the great gospel carriers, hallelujah, again, Lord God, and we thank you for it. And Father, we stand. And devil, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to cease and desist in your operations against Donald Trump in the name of Jesus. I command you to keep your big mouth shut right now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I thank you right now. Father, we send the ministering spirits, the angels around him to protect him right now. Lord God, to help him, to encourage him. Lord God, to strengthen him just as they came to strengthen Jesus in his time of need. Surely he has a great time of need. He has great trials to face. But I thank you for the strength of angels around him to help him fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for him in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Father, thank you very much for all you're going to do. Father, we stand against the demonic powers in this nation that have come against the presidential office, that have come against our House and our Senate, come against our judges. Lord God, we stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, we command you to get your hands off of our nation. Get your hands off of our government. Get your hands off in Jesus' name. We command you to bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Cease and desist in your operations. Lord God, again, we loose the angels and their influence in our land, moving through our land, Lord God, as you did with the election to influence people and bring things around to your purpose. Again, Lord God, you'll work in these last days to bring this government back around to your purpose. Hallelujah, again. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we don't take credit that we're doing any of these things that we do here today because we're so smart. Lord God, if you haven't given us revelation, if you hadn't opened our eyes, we would not have known to do these things. And Lord God, we glorify you. We don't have the power to bring it to pass. You just gave us the authority to ask for it. You said you'd do it. And I want to thank you. You're doing it. You're working. Hallelujah. You're doing according to your word. You said whatever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. So we thank you. Hallelujah. The devil's bound. Heaven's loosed to work in this earth and fulfill God's plan because we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for being so gracious and kind and good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture, you know, says this. One of the things is praying for saints. James talked about praying. One of the things he said, you know, confess your faults to one another. And, the Lord gave me a revelation on that. You just don't go around and tell everybody your faults. You know, that'd be a dumb thing to do because there's some people...